job, sixth grade.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Hey, I don't know about that, but that's some good whistling, Cameron. So, good job. We're saying good job to you. All right. Well, happy Sunday. Glad that you're all here. Just to hit on a few of those announcements, our spring internship has started, which we have a couple interns missing today. Raise your hand if you are an intern. All the way up. So we got three in here. Four. Five. So, and we have two others, I believe, that aren't with us today. So we've got our largest middle school crew of interns that we've ever had. So if you're interested, you can still get involved. It's only on Sundays and Wednesdays, so you're already here. So you might as well come hang out with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of cool stuff planned. Wednesdays, it's from 5 to 9, times of the service. And then Sundays from 8 to 1. And we're looking forward to having everybody that's on the team. And if anyone else wants to, there are applications in the information booth. Summer camp, make sure that you're at least getting that on your calendar now and making plans to be at summer camp. We have the information packets at the information booth. So grab one of those on your way out. We also have it online. So if you need to go online and look at it, show it to your parents, mark the calendar. If you can raise $50 a month, you'll be in the clear. And so most of you, sorry, got all choked up there about camp. Mow some yards, clean some houses, just find some things to do and make sure that you're there because it is the best way to get connected with other students and leaders here in the factory, and it's going to be the best part of your summer, I guarantee it. So, yeah. Make plans to be there. I feel like there's one other one. First Saturday, going bowling. Be at First Saturday. It's a lot of fun. Invite your friends. Real easy way to invite your friends who don't go to church. Bring them bowling and then bring them with you Sunday mornings. It's a good time. $8 is two games plus shoes. You can't beat that deal. And so make plans to be there February 2nd. Chase the Wind. We're back in our series today. I believe we are now over halfway through the series. We'll end in the spring, and then we'll go straight into our summer activities with hot summer nights and everything. But if you haven't been with us today, don't worry. I know we have some new faces in the crowd. We'll get you caught up on where we are and what we're looking at and what we're doing. So Ecclesiastes chapter 6, 1 through 12 is where we're going to be today. So if you go look under your chair, there's a Bible, a pen, and a handout. Grab all three. And flip open to page 472. 472. Keep your finger there. Once you find it, just stick your finger in it. And we'll come back to it. So that way you don't have to open back up. Keep it there. And this morning, for those that haven't been here, maybe you haven't been here in a few weeks, get you caught up with where we are. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes in this series. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, who was king of Israel. He was son of King David, and he was at the end of his life at this point. So he's looking back over his life. He's pretty much writing his memoirs and all the thoughts and ideas that he's had over all these years and things that he's learned. And really what the book does as a whole is it takes a long, hard look at all sides of life. The good, happy, fun times, and the really hard times that most people don't want to talk about. And he didn't write this book just to be depressing or to have people be like, man, life really stinks. But it was actually written to make people happy because he had learned so much through the wisdom that God had given him that he wanted to share it with others. And so that's the premise for why he wrote the book. There you are. We'll move forward from here. If you want to hear any more of the series that maybe you've missed or you just want to get caught up, hear it again. We post everything on our Facebook page, if you did not know that. So all audio from all of our services is posted online. Share it, listen to it, love it, enjoy it. But the bottom line for you today, if you don't walk away with anything else, I want you to walk away with this, and it's that always searching, never satisfied. Always searching, never satisfied. Always searching. And it's on the bottom of your hand out there. Always searching, never satisfied. still see some people writing. Always searching, never satisfied. All right, and so now we are going to go back to that passage where I told you to stick your finger, because we're coming right back to it. Verses 1 through 12, which is the entirety of the chapter, is where we're going to be today. It's a pretty short chapter for Ecclesiastes. So, all right. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy on mankind. A man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet a stranger enjoys it. This is vanity. It is a grievous evil. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he is bleh, 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 bleh. He also has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything, yet it finds rest rather than he. Even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good, do not all go to the one place. All the toil of the man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? And what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind. Whatever has come to be has already been named, and it is known that man is, and that he is not able to dispute with one stronger than he. The more words, the more vanity, and what is the advantage of man? For who knows what is good for a man while he lives the few days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? For who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? So that's the passage we'll be working through today. It is a mouthful. But before we kind of start breaking it down and tearing it apart, every week we're going to come back to this verse because it is really good for where we are and what we're working through. At 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, is all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the reason why we come back to that every week is Ecclesiastes is a really great book for those who aren't sure and don't know about the rest of the Bible. Like, if you've never experienced any of the Bible or any church, this is a great book to start. Because everything that's written in here, every person that has ever walked the world will experience at some point or time in their lives. It's applicable to everyone from every walk of life, every financial background, every social background, everywhere that you could come from and be from, and country and language and tribe, everyone deals with what's written in this book. And so this is really applicable, and that's why we keep coming back to this verse, is that, you know, especially if you have friends that have never been involved in church, and this is a great series to bring them in on, because they have seen their families, they've seen their friends walk through some of these things that we're going to be talking about. But the first verses that we're going to be working through is 1 and 2 of that chapter 6. So, we'll go back through it again. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, and it lies heavy on mankind. A man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires. Yet, God does not give him power to enjoy them, but a stranger enjoys them. This is vanity. It is a grievous evil. And so the first blank that we have for you there on your handout is having everything but nothing. Having everything but nothing. Having everything but nothing. And so we see right off the bat that Solomon is back to this theme that we've seen time and time again throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, that he's saying that wealth in of itself is meaningless at the end of life. Like, if that's your focus and that's your pursuit, then that is not going to last, and you'll end up wanting and striving for more. And so that the ultimate theme that we have here in this verse, and we see time and time again, is ultimately wealth is meaningless. Ultimately, wealth is meaningless, which we'll bring that back around. Not to say wealth is a bad thing in and of itself, but Solomon had all the wealth that you and I could ever imagine. Like, crazy amounts of wealth. Like, he swam in $100 bills. You know, it was just crazy the amount of wealth that he had acquired. Things like built with gold. He had many houses. He had forests. He had parks. Like most of us had a house. He had houses. And to have a park that you own and belongs to you, man, this guy had thick wallets. And it was just like he had cash to do anything and everything that he wanted to do. And that's what we see in Ecclesiastes, is that he's taken what the position that he has as the king, and he's tested everything that life has to offer. And this is where he's coming up with. And so that when he starts this section, he's saying it's a great evil to have wealth and to have possessions and to have these things and to not be able to enjoy them. And he puts that towards God and saying that there are those in life that even though they have all this wealth and happy, like what would seem happiness from the outside, it's not really satisfying. It's not filling a hole. And so we come back to this theme that we've talked about before, and that there's an eternal hole that's inside of all of us, and that there's this longing for something that satisfies. And this is something that Solomon comes back to time and time again, is that there's a longing within the hearts of all mankind for something that lasts, for something that endures, for something that satisfies. And this is where he's coming from here, and he starts back with the wealth side. But we see in this next portion that we're going to be working through that he takes a little bit of a different twist on the what belongs to a man and what satisfies. And so in verses 3 through 6, we'll start out there. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he also has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything, yet it finds rest rather than he. Even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good, do not all go to the one place. And so the next blank we have for you is big crews don't mean big happiness. Big crews don't mean big happiness. Big crews don't mean big happiness. And so we see here that he's taken this idea of wealth and he's kind of twisted it a bit. And not just monetary wealth, but he's talking about the wealth of relationships and of family and friends. And he says, how terrible is it to be a man who has this large, huge family that would have such great times and relationships and memories and not be able to enjoy it at all? Like, when you look back over your life and you've seen that you haven't enjoyed what God's blessed you with. Now, I know for me, some of my best memories and some of the greatest times I've had have been like with family and friends and just funny times. And, oh, do you remember that time? Do you remember this time? And it's just, it's warmth to the heart, like to have those types of relationships. And so Solomon's saying here, man, it is terrible and it's evil to be in a position where you don't have an enjoyment of those relationships that are in your life. Like if you're always seeking those relationships and you even have them and they're not satisfying, he even goes so far to say it's better to have not been born, to be a child that died early in life and not had to experience that pain. Because I'm sure if I was to go around the room, all of us have been in a position where we've lost a friendship or we've lost a relationship, or there's been something that has happened relationally with someone that's hurt us. And it's been painful, and it's deeper than any other kind of wound than just like losing money. And so Solomon says here, he's like, man, it's better that you never be born than to have to live with that kind of pain. And so then he goes back to this theme that he's talked about again. He's like, what's the purpose if you're not going to be able to enjoy the relationships you have in life? Because if you get to the end of your life and you haven't been able to enjoy them and there's been things that have kept you from having good, solid relationships, then we're all going to die and we're all going to go to the same place anyways. Like, so life is, again, the great equalizer, is something that Solomon keeps coming back to, and that those with great relationships and those without, like, if you don't enjoy them, and even if you do, we're all going to end up in the same place. So he's really struggling and wrestling with this concept of not being able to enjoy the ones that you love and that you live with and that bring happiness to your life. And so he moves on into verses 7 through 9. All the toil of a man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? And what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. This also is vanity and striving after the wind. And so, next book we have for you is Always Filling, Never Full. Always filling, never full. Always filling, never full. And there's this guy named Andy Stanley, and he has a quote that I wanted to kind of bring up here, which is really good. It's, appetites are never fully and finally satisfied. Appetites are never fully and finally satisfied. In that we talked about this a little bit last week, but and Solomon's still working through some of this same theme. And it's that most of us, even if you grow up and you have a job that you absolutely love, like it's you're passionate about it and you love going to work and doing what you do, ultimately when you have a job, you're doing it to provide for those that you love and that you live with, or to provide for yourself. Like that's ultimately what it comes down to. You're working a job that pays you so you can pay the bills so that you can live a happy life with those around you. Like, and you may have the greatest jobs, and I hope all of you do, and grow up and do things that you love. But ultimately what it boils down to, even though I feel like the greatest job ever, like at the end of the day, I work, I get paid, I take care of my family, and we do this cycle over and over. And it's an appetite. Like if I was not to come to work, I wouldn't get paid. If I didn't get paid, Danae would be really upset. If didn't get paid, we wouldn't have an apartment. And there's just all these things that demand our time, our money, our focus, our energy, and they're never satisfied. And so no matter how much money you get, even some of the richest people in the world are always saying, how can I have just a little bit more? How can I have just a little bit more? And there's a quote by everyone heard of the Rockefeller Center? Well, the Rockefeller, there's a quote that he said where someone asked him, he's one of the wealthiest people of the last, 100 years or so, if you were to take inflation and all that. And his family's still very wealthy today. But if you were to look at all that he had and someone asked him, how much money is enough? And he's like, just a little bit more. And this was a man who had everything. And he's like, just a little bit more. He could always just grow a little bit more. His businesses needed a little bit more money put into them so they could grow a little bit more. We have to have a little bit more to buy that extra nice set of clothes. We have to have an extra little bit of money to put into a car. We have to have this. We have to have that. And there's all these things that are pulling at our money, at our time, at our energy, at our relationships. And it's just always pulling from us. And no matter how much we pour into it, it seems like it's never full. We can pour ourselves into hobbies. We can pour ourselves into sports, whatever it is for you, like whatever you pour yourself into. If that's what you give everything to, ultimately it'll require more. If you pour yourself into sports, it'll ultimately require you to step up your game and to like spend more time at the gym, and you'll have to work harder and practice more and do this and play more teams. And there's so much more required of sports, even just sports, not getting into all the other activities. So much more required of sports today than just when I was in high school. Like sports are now an all year thing. And if I've heard students tell us that they can't come to services because if they don't make all the practices, that their coach is going to cut them from the team. And so it's like there's so much that's demanding of our time and our energy and our resources. Man, it's always filling it up, and it's like it never gets full. This is something that we'll see Solomon's hit a couple other times, and he'll hit a few more times before we're done with the book. But it's something that was really working on his heart then, but it still applies to us today and where we are. And so as we move on to verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12, whatever has come to be has already been named, and it is known that man is and that he is not able to dispute with one stronger than he. The more words, the more vanity. And what is the advantage of man? For who knows what is good for man while he lives the few days of this vain life, which he passes like a shadow? For who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? And so the last blank, or second to last blank that we have for you is, been there, done that. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. And so this is a theme that we saw early on in the book, and but everything that has been in some form or another has been before. Like, rarely does someone come along who completely revolutionizes something that generations later people remember them. They may do a lot of good stuff during the small period of time that they're on the earth. But who knows if what you do with your life's going to last, you know, past when you die. And something even Pastor Justin and I have been talking about is, you know, how do you know you've been a great teacher or a great parent or a great grandparent? You know when your kids are raising good kids. That's like when you know the sign that you've been a good parent is when your kids are raising good kids. But sometimes you don't even know if that's going to happen. Like, you can only do the best that you can. You can strive hard and you can do all that you can with your jobs, with your relationships, with those that you come in contact with. But ultimately, at the end of it all, who knows what's going to be after us? Who knows what's going to take place when we're gone from this earth? Who knows if you're going to work really hard and leave a great inheritance to your family, and if they're going to blow it all in a weekend? Who knows what tomorrow brings? Who knows where you're going to be after you graduate high school? Most of you will have friends all through high school, and you'll develop relationships, and after you graduate, more than likely, you'll never see them again. So who knows where life's going to take you? And so this is something that Solomon's just really working through as he's, from his position, he sees all levels of society, and he's seen people come in and out of his life, and he's seen people do great things and die. And even in his example, after him, the kingdom of Israel went downhill after he died. He had sons that fought and warred over the kingdom of Israel, and there were some really bad things that took place even just after he died. So who knows what's going to take place today, tomorrow, or 10 years from now? But we don't want to leave it there. We always want to take what we're working through and look at it and see what the gospel has to say about where we are in this, and just kind of take it through gospel-colored glasses. So for today, our a verse that we go to is Matthew 5:6, and it's real easy. It's, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And it's probably one of the first verses that you heard if you grew up in church, because it's an easy verse. It's a verse that you would hear in Bible stories. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And so our last blank is, righteousness satisfies. Righteousness satisfies. And so you could be at a point in your life where you're searching for something, you're looking for something to satisfy, you're looking for a relationship to satisfy, you're looking for money to satisfy, and just nothing is adding up. You may be just looking at your schoolwork and hoping that that satisfies, and that's something that keeps you going and presses you on. There's things in life that may be just driving you crazy, and you're looking for something to satisfy you. But ultimately, we see time and time again, Solomon tells us that these things don't satisfy. Wisdom doesn't satisfy. While it's great, and he had the most of any man that ever walked the earth, still didn't satisfy. He still made a lot of mistakes and did a lot of bad things. He had all the wealth that you could imagine. still didn't satisfy. He had relationships like crazy. Everybody wants to be friends with the king. He had relationships. He had people who worked for him, served with him, that he trusted in, and ultimately even those that he loved most would end up hurting him and would end up causing trouble and turmoil in his family. And so those relationships in themselves didn't satisfy. Like if he had put all of his hope and trust in those things, they all come up wanting. And so you and I can easily do that same thing. We can easily just be seeking something to take away the pain. We can be seeking something that is just filling the time we fill up our time with, feel that that's what's important. And then we find that it's not, so we run to something else and we're like, oh, this is the next big thing. So this is important and this is awesome. You know, so I'm going to put my time and energy into this, which is, you know, have activities, have hobbies, work hard, do well in school, get good jobs, you know, make money, slide some my way. Yeah. But ultimately, if that's what your life is just solely focused on, it's going to come up wanting. You're going to come up at the end of your life wondering where did it all go and what was the purpose of it all. See here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. It's the only real satisfaction comes in that. So as the band starts to come today, you can all stand up and we'll have some ways that we've walked through this passage this morning and through the gospel portion, we see that the Bible tells us if we believe the Bible and we believe what it says, then this is how we respond biblically. And so you may be in a place where one of the things we talk about, man, it's really hitting on your heart and you realize that you're in a position where you've been filling and filling and filling, but you just never feel full. And that's where you are. Maybe there's relationships that you've thought, man, this relationship's going to satisfy, but it ultimately didn't, and you ended up hurt and alone, and you don't know how to fix it because you had put all your hope and trust in that person or in that group of people. And maybe you're even looking at wealth and money and thinking, man, when I'm old enough, I can do so much better than where I am right now, and I'll be satisfied because I can do what I want. I tell you, ultimately, it doesn't satisfy. And so the ways that we see that the Bible tells us that we can respond to what we've heard today is the first one is to accept Christ. So if there's someone, maybe you did when you were younger and you just didn't really know what it meant, or maybe you've never accepted Christ before, that's the first place we'll always go to, is to accept Christ, because that's what satisfies. And then the second one is you've been searching for something to satisfy you. And maybe it's one of the ones that I named today and what we worked through in the passage, or maybe it's something that we've never even talked about in here, but you know for you, that's something you're trying to fill a hole with. Like, you're trying to just fill up your heart with that and hoping that it helps you through. And so if that's where you are and that's where God's working with you, then we would love to pray with you. But how we're going to do this today is that we'll have some worship time and allow you to respond in your hearts and allow God to just kind of do some work in you. And then after a couple of songs, our leaders will start to go around and see if there's anything we can pray with you with. And it can be something that we've talked about today, or it can be something other than that. We'd love to pray and talk with you about anything that you have going on in your life. And so let God to start to do some work in you as we respond in worship, and let's worship together.